This is ARN.
Decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. Pause. I am your squirrel, the host, coming to you from the ARN studios, high atop the tallest tree in the Piney Woods. Good to have you with us. It is Thursday, the 25th day of April, 2024. This is Squirrel Chatter, a podcast dedicated to scripture, theology, history, current events, and whatever else I want to talk about. We webcast every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Mountain on X, Facebook, and Rumble. And then the audio podcast is available for download wherever you find fine podcasts. Squirrel Chatter is a proud member of the Christian podcast community. You can check out all the curated podcasts over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. You are certain to find something worth listening to. I guarantee it. Glacier Blend from Montana Coffee Traders is in my cup this morning. They do not sponsor the show, but I like their coffee. Oh, how is everybody? Last night was our last youth group gathering of this school year, as we are now officially in our summer hiatus. And so we took the entire youth group to Cracker Barrel last night for dinner, although technically everybody had breakfast. So did that make us the second breakfast club? It was good. I don't go to Cracker Barrel unless I order breakfast. Their breakfast is too good. You can't ignore it. Oh, but yeah, we had a good time. Then we got back over to the church and played some games, talked about everything that we had studied over the year, memorizing Psalm 1 and then memorizing Ephesians 2, 4 through 9, I think. I can't remember. I'd have to look it up. And then spent the whole year looking at the ministry of, actually, the early church, looking at the book of Acts, beginning with the Great Commission, and then Peter's sermon at Pentecost, and through the conversion of Paul, and also, you know, stoning of Stephen, conversion of Paul. We just looked at all of those events from the book of Acts, and trying to memorize the order of the books of the Bible. You know, just having a good time, normal youth group stuff. But we had a good time, and it's kind of bittersweet that we're over for the year. Won't be getting together on Wednesday nights for the next couple, 3 months. Not until September when school starts back up. Always a good time. But I got camp coming up in June, so I'll get to go up and spend in time up at Camp Utmost with the Utes. As Rush Limbaugh used to say, the young skulls full of mush get up there and try to teach them the Word of God. Oh, good coffee this morning. All right, this is Squirrel Chatter. I already did that. What do we got coming up today? We have scripture reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. We have prayers from the Book of Common Prayer. We have a reading from John MacArthur's Daily Readings from the Life of Christ, Volume 1. And it's Thursday, so it's Theology Thursday. We are in the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, Chapter 20, and we're looking at the third paragraph today. All right. Let us begin, as is our practice, with the Prayer of Confession from the 2019 Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our prayer for the reading of the word. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience in the comfort of your holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture readings today are Exodus 32 and Psalm 82. Exodus 32. Then the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain. So the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, "Arise, make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Tear off the gold rings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." Then all the people tore off the gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt." And Aaron looked and built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to Yahweh." So the next day they rose early and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Then Yahweh said to Moses, go down at once, for your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have quickly turned aside from the way which I commanded them. They have made for themselves a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up from the land of Egypt.'" And Yahweh said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, they are a stiff-necked people. Now then, let me alone, that my anger may burn against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation." Then Moses entreated the favor of Yahweh his God, and said, "O Yahweh, why does your anger burn against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a strong hand? Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, 'With evil intent he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your burning anger and relent concerning doing harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by yourself, and you said to them, 'I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and all this land of which I have spoken I will give to your seed, and they shall inherit it forever.'" So Yahweh relented concerning the harm which he said he would do to his people. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand, tablets which were written on both sides. They were written on one side and the other. Now the tablets were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. Then Joshua heard the sound of the people as they shouted, and he said to Moses, "There is the sound of war in the camp." But he said, "It is not the sound of the cry of triumph, nor is it the sound of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear." Now it happened, as soon as Moses came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger burned. And he threw the tablets from his hands and shattered them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf which they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it over the surface of the water and made the sons of Israel drink it. Then Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought such great sin upon them?" And Aaron said, "Do not let the anger of my Lord burn. You know the people yourself, that they are prone to anger or prone to evil. Indeed, they said to me, 'Make gods for us who will go before us, for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him.' And I said to them, 'Whoever has any gold, let them tear it off.' So they gave it to me. I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf." Now Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control to be a derision among their enemies. So Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, "Whoever is for Yahweh, come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered together to him. And he said to them, "Thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, every man among you, put his sword upon his thigh, and go back and forth from gate to gate in the camp, and kill every man his brother, and every man his friend, and every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, "Be ordained today to Yahweh, for every man has been against his son and against his brother, in order that he may bestow a blessing upon you today." Now it happened on the next day that Moses said to the people, "You yourselves have committed a great sin, but now I am going up to Yahweh. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." Then Moses returned to Yahweh and said, "Alas, this people has committed a great sin, and they have made gods of gold for themselves. But now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out from your book which you have written." And Yahweh said to Moses, "Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. But now go, guide the people where I told you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I punish, I will punish them for their sin." Then Yahweh smote the people because of what they did with the calf which Aaron had made. And now Psalm 82. The 82nd Psalm, a Psalm of Asaph. God takes his stand in the congregation of God. He judges in the midst of gods. How long will you judge unrighteously and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. Give justice to the poor and the orphan. Justify the afflicted and the destitute. Protect the poor and the needy. Deliver them out of the hand of the wicked. They do not know and do not understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, "You are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High." Nevertheless, you will die like men, and you will fall like any one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for it is you who will inherit all the nations. This is the word of the Lord. And now our reading from Daily Readings from the Life of Christ. Today's devotional is entitled Reverential Fear. But when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and glorified God who had given such authority to men. Matthew 9:8. The word rendered awestruck, Dr. MacArthur writes, although often translated fear, most commonly refers to reverential awe in the New Testament. It is how someone feels who is in the presence of another infinitely superior person. Awestruck describes the reaction to numerous significant events we read about in the Gospels and Acts. The shepherds hearing of Jesus' birth, Luke 2:9. The apostles when the Lord walked on water, Matthew 14:26. The guards at the tomb when the angels rolled away the stone, Matthew 28:2-4. The people in the early church right after Pentecost, Acts 2:43. And the reaction to the deaths of Ananias and Sapphira, Acts 5:5-11. Reverential awe of God is an essential part of the genuine Christian life. See 2 Corinthians 7:1, 2 Corinthians 7:10-11, Philippians 2:12, and 1 Peter 3:2. This attitude must undergird all important aspects of worship, ministry, love, respect, and even biblical church discipline. See 2 Corinthians 5:11, Ephesians 5:21, 1 Timothy 5:20. The awe-filled response by most of the people in the crowd as they witnessed what Jesus did for the paralytic was certainly the right one, especially since it resulted in their giving glory to God. Such an attitude should never be far from us as we strive to faithfully worship and serve the Lord. See Acts 9:31. Ask yourself, how magnificent of a revelation does it take for you to be awestruck at God's splendor and glory? What simple, basic, everyday things are ready examples of His greatness, though disguised as something ordinary and insignificant? Good word this morning. All right, it is Thursday. We are back in the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, chapter 20, of the Gospel and the Extent of Grace Thereof. We are going to be in the third paragraph today. I will read the first and second and third paragraphs, and then we will go clause by clause through the third paragraph. Excuse me. Another sip of coffee. All right. The 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, chapter 20, of the Gospel and the Extent of Grace Thereof, paragraph number 1. The covenant of works being broken by sin and made unprofitable unto life, God was pleased to give forth the promise of Christ, the seed of the woman, as the means of calling the elect, and begetting in them faith and repentance. In this promise, the gospel, as to the substance of it, was revealed, and is therein effectual for the conversion and salvation of sinners. Paragraph 2. This promise of Christ and salvation by Him is revealed only by the Word of God. Neither do the works of creation or providence with the light of nature make discovery of Christ or of grace by Him so much as in a general or obscure way, much less that men destitute of the revelation of Him by the promise or gospel should be enabled thereby to attain saving faith or repentance. Now paragraph 3. The revelation of the gospel to sinners, made in diverse times and by sundry parts, with the addition of promises and precepts for the obedience required therein, as to the nations and persons to whom it is granted, is merely of the sovereign will and good pleasure of God, not being annexed by virtue of any promise to the due improvement of man's natural abilities, but virtue of common light received without it, which none ever made or can do so. And therefore, in all ages, the preaching of the gospel has been granted unto persons and nations as to the extent and straitening of it, in great variety, according to the counsel of the will of God. One of the things that is quite clear throughout church history is that not everybody hears the gospel, and not everybody who hears the gospel responds with faith and repentance. Who hears the gospel and who responds positively to the gospel is entirely up to the will of God. We talked about last week, looking at paragraph 2, that natural revelation is insufficient to bring people to repentance, because natural revelation tells us that God is, and that He is great and powerful and majestic. Also tells us that we are sinners, because every man has a conscience, and that's part of God's natural revelation. But natural revelation is wholly insufficient to bring someone to salvation, because apart from special revelation, meaning the scriptures, God revealed God's revealed word. Apart from that, we can know nothing about the forgiveness of sin. And it's quite important that we have to know the promises of God in order to believe the promises of God. And while you can see God's great handiwork in the stars or in the leaves of the trees or, you know, in the microscopic world, God's handiwork and his great vast wisdom and power are made clear to us. But there's nothing there about the promises of God. So we don't know, we cannot have a relationship with God based on natural revelation, what we call general revelation, God revealed in nature. We need special revelation. We need the Word of God. As I said, not everybody on the planet throughout history has had the Word of God. Not everyone who has the Word of God responds in faith. This is entirely God's will. This is the first clause in this paragraph. The revelation of the gospel to sinners, made in diverse times and by sundry parts, with the addition of promises and precepts for the obedience required therein. So this is the revelation of the gospel being revealed to sinners. As to the nations and persons to whom it is granted, is merely of the sovereign will and good pleasure of God. It's God who determines who hears the gospel. This is you know, one of the things that drives the missionary movement is to get the gospel out to all people. But even the missionary movement, which, I mean, the modern missionary movement has been going on for several hundred years now, and yet there are still unreached people groups. And it's not for lack of trying. There have been difficulties and roadblocks and lack of funds, and also that's all in God's sovereign control. And it is merely the sovereign will and good pleasure of God who hears the gospel. So what do we do in light of that? Share the gospel. But understand that by being obedient to God, because we are told to go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that Christ commanded the church, we are to do that. That is the Great Commission. But we don't have to do the entirety of it ourselves. It falls upon a great number of people. So we tell those who we can tell. And then others tell who they can tell. And who hears is entirely up to God. Just as who responds, or actually I should say everybody responds, how they respond is entirely up to God. Yeah, everybody responds to hearing the gospel. Most respond by hardening their hearts. Some respond with repentance and faith. But everybody responds to the gospel. And that response is the sovereign will and good pleasure of God as well. So, trust God. Be obedient and trust God. You know, none of us can make someone believe. and none of us can tell every person on the face of the planet the good news of Jesus Christ. So, collectively, we have reached a large number of people. But individually, most of us aren't going to reach that many in absolute terms. So, proclaim the gospel. Leave the results to God because it's His pleasure. We're given here Psalm 147:20. He has not done so with any nation, so as for His judgments, they have not known them, praise Yah. So not every nation understands the judgment of God that is going to fall upon them. They will, and there will be no denying that God is right and just in bringing that judgment. But not every nation hears the gospel and has the opportunity to repent. Not every individual. Acts 16:7. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to get into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. So again, the spread of the gospel is under the sovereign direction, will, and good pleasure of God. The next clause says, not being annexed by virtue of any promise to the due improvement of man's natural abilities by virtue of common light received without it, which none ever made or can do so. This is what I'm saying. Natural revelation is not sufficient to reveal the truth of the gospel. So that the natural light, the common light, the light of the knowledge of God that is available to every person apart from Scripture, that common light is not sufficient to bring someone to faith and repentance. It says, none ever made or can do so. The improvement of man's natural ability. Meaning none can ever repent of their sin and come to faith in Christ apart from the proclamation of the gospel. And the verse given here is Romans 1:18-32, the same verse I just referenced. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. I'm going to stop right there. Think about this. Men suppress the truth in unrighteousness. It is the sinfulness of mankind that causes mankind to reject the existence of God. It's not lack of evidence or any of that. The evidence is plentiful, but it is the unrighteousness of man that causes man not to worship God. And the reason is, if man was to acknowledge God, then man would have to admit his own sinfulness and his own inadequacies. But as John 3 says, men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. They flee from the light. That's the same thing as suppressing the truth in their unrighteousness. Fleeing from the light. They don't want to look at it. They don't want to think about it. They want to ignore it. They want to hold it at bay, hold it back. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, both his eternal power and divine nature, having been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the likeness of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to dishonorable passions, for their females exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the males abandoned the natural function of the female and burned in their desire toward one another, males with males committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them over to an unfit mind to do those things which are not proper. having been filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, violent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the righteous requirement of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So, folks, natural revelation is insufficient to bring someone to faith and repentance. They need to hear the gospel, which is why we need to be about evangelism. A, we need to be about it because we're being obedient to Christ. We're supposed to proclaim the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We need to tell people to repent of their sins and put their faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, because there is salvation found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people need to hear that, because natural revelation, general revelation, is insufficient to bring people to faith and repentance. Because apart from the proclamation of the gospel, men can know nothing, men and women, sinful humanity, can know nothing about the perfect life that Christ lived, the sacrificial death he suffered, his resurrection on the third day, his ascension into heaven, his being seated at the right hand of the Father, all of that. You cannot know apart from Scripture. Yeah. That God, in the person of Jesus Christ, God became a man. The incarnation, the perfect life, the death, burial, and resurrection, repentance, salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. None of that can be known apart from the Scripture and the proclamation of the gospel. So go and evangelize today. If you have an opportunity, share the gospel with someone today. All right. Let us now recite our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now the collect for the fourth Sunday of Easter. O God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, is the good shepherd of your people, grant that, when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads, who, with you and the Holy Spirit, lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And the collect for guidance. Heavenly Father, in you we live and move and have our being. We humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life we may not forget you, but may remember that we are ever walking in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And for the unrepentant we pray. Merciful God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that they should turn to you and live. And through your only Son, you have revealed yourself as the God who pardons iniquity. Have mercy on the unrepentant and those who do not believe. Awaken in them by your word and Holy Spirit a deep sense of their sinfulness and peril. Take from them all ignorance, hardness of heart, and contempt of your word. Grant them to know and feel that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which they must be saved, but only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so bring them home and number them among your children, that they may be yours forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. All right, folks, that is Squirrel Chatter for today. I hope you have the very best of days. As you go through the day, remember to do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not do. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of the Lord. We'll see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.